Welcome to Dragon Football Weekly. I'm Tucker Green alongside Jess Walker. This coverage of Pickens football is brought to you by Tri-State Communications Sports Network. It is Rivalry Week, which we're very excited about. Jess and I, particularly as alumnus of Pickens High School, we get an excitement anytime I think you take on the team in purple up north, whether it be in football or any other sport or competition. That's the way it was when I was in school. I think Jess would agree, and more of a history the deep history of this rivalry of how competitive these two schools are, two communities are, and it's always exciting this week in particular when you have Gilmer versus Pickens, which is exactly what we'll have on Friday night in LJ. The Dragons on the road. We'll have coverage, of course, for you on 93.7, 98.1 FM and streaming online. That will be with the Northside pregame show starting at 7 p.m. and then kickoff at 7:30. It should be a great contest. We're going to dive into all of that and the rivalry and the matchup and other things later on in the show. A little added bonus, too, as you all know now, because of the region realignments last year. Also, region implications and pretty significant region implications, which we'll address later on in the show. So a lot on the line this Friday night. Probably, I would say, even more than a typical rivalry game. There's a lot of postseason implications and probably just also some motivating factors to keep seasons alive to a degree. We'll talk about that a little later. And, of course, part of what making this so significant is the Dragons unfortunately coming off of a region loss last Friday at home against the Austin Tigers to fall 0-2 thus far on region play. It was really a tale of two halves, Dragons versus the Tigers. Very competitive first half matchup. Dawson ran away with it in the second half to lead to a final score 42-7. We, of course, had coverage of that all night long, and Jess and I were scratching our heads a little in the second half, but I'll let Jess kind of dive into that matchup at home against Dawson from last Friday.
Yeah, we knew going in it was not the Dawson team from last season, the team that ran the table in the region on their way to a region championship, had a stout defense and had enough offense, at least to back that stout defense up. And while there's still some elements of that, Pickens definitely had its best chance of the region schedule for sure so far, and really its best chance for a win in about a month real time since they played Christian Heritage. Early on, you could see that they had opportunities. They did fall down 7-0, but there were two drives that stalled out in Dawson territory where they're hanging out around midfield, a little bit past midfield, Dawson 40 or so, and they've got fourth and short. Fail to convert twice. One of those was a 10-play drive. The next was 11-play drive. So both were optimistic drives, but they are still hanging around at this point, which is something, you know, we were forcing some three and outs on defense, and that's not been seen a lot out of the Dragons this year. Forced one to start the game, forced another early in the second. That's when we were able to finally answer that first touchdown by Dawson. A massive play, a 79-yard touchdown pass from Sam Stryker to McCord Purdy. Really one of the more exciting plays that we've seen all season. Dawson, though, they answered us right back on a 12-play drive of their own to make it 14-7. And that's how we went into the half. And there were certainly signs that, you know, the good competitive matchup would remain for all 48 minutes. And it just wasn't that way. The offense, they weren't heard from at all in the second half. One stat that stood out to me was not, there were three turnovers, but the game was kind of out of hand once those turnovers started taking place anyway. The stat that stood out to me was we only ran 15 total plays on offense second half, only ran six in the third quarter. So Dawson just really controlled the clock. After they had kind of put the game away, that's when the turnovers started to happen, and you saw the lead balloon up to what it ended up at 42-7. But really just a mystery on an offense that even though it only put up seven points in the first half. We talked about the two long drives that just had bad breaks on fourth and short, but it just disappeared in the second half.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I kind of took away was two things. One thing you already talked about was defensively in the first half, we finally saw some stops for the Dragons. They were able to pretty much contain Dawson to a degree. I mean, they had a couple of good drives they ultimately scored on, but just I mean, completely different. They finally looked to be somewhat in sync in the first half. And just, you know, incredible. You go from they did allow two scores in the first half and then four scores in the second half. As far as the offense, kind of the same thing. I thought the offense was moving the ball very well in the first half. I know we only scored one touchdown, but we talked about on air, they had a couple of very good drives, ended up stalling out in the red zone that they just weren't able to capitalize on, but they moved the ball fairly well, and they moved it around a good bit. We saw Isaiah Williams getting in on some receptions. We saw Landon Poole getting in on some carries. There was a lot of spreading the ball around, Hayden Jones and Purdy that you've already talked about. And we just didn't see that in the second half. It was like everything went out the window. It was kind of strange. It really was a tale of two teams. And I'm not sure what happened at halftime. I mean, probably do have to give some credit to Dawson. Sid Maxwell, very good coach, no doubt about it. And I feel certain he probably made some adjustments in the locker room and tightened some things up and maybe saw some things with the Pickens team that he took advantage of in the second half. But it was a strange tale of two teams, as I said, and want to just kind of get your final thoughts on that, Jess. And one more thing I thought we should unpack was thought it was a little interesting, too, in the second half. We ended up having a quarterback change. Sam Stryker switched out to a receiver kind of in the later part of the game. I don't have exactly in front of me when that was. I want to say it was fourth quarter. And we saw Hayden – it did happen after a pick six from Stryker. He stays in the game, goes to receiver. Hayden Jones goes in at quarterback. Just kind of interesting. I don't want to get into anything like which quarterback should be playing. That's not what I'm asking you. I think both of them are very talented and have their place on the team. Just maybe if you can unpack what might have went into that decision, what they were trying to accomplish, what kind of looks they were trying to get that late in the game. As you know, as you kind of noted, I think earlier too, at that point, game kind of had gotten out of hand when the change happened. So maybe that was some of the thinking. It was kind of curious to me. One of the things I noticed in the later part of the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't be curious at all that he's playing in a game that's out of hand. You typically want your second string to get some reps and keep your starter healthy, prepare for the future. But what did make it kind of odd to me is that Stryker stayed in the game, like you said, at wide receiver. If they had just pulled him and swapped quarterbacks in a game that was already 35-7, you know, I wouldn't have batted an eye. That would be the right thing to do, in my opinion, is to get any backup some playing time. And Hayden Jones is kind of an unconventional backup because he is a starter at another position, a heavily involved starter at that. But it was odd that they kept him in at wide receiver. I'm sure there is an answer for that. Maybe, he obviously, as the quarterback, is going to know the offense. Maybe at a short moment's notice, they didn't have anybody else they felt comfortable throwing in there at that point in time. I do not think it was a change that we will see going forward, at least not yet. I do think it was a factor of the game being out of hand. I don't expect us to come out there Friday and have a different starting quarterback. It was what made it a little bit odd is that Stryker stayed in the game at wide receiver. They actually connected on a long pass. We thought it ended up getting called back via penalty, but it was interesting. Did like what I saw from Hayden Jones. He did commit two turnovers, one a fumble that is probably 50-50 on him. Didn't feel 50-50 on him versus offensive line. He didn't feel pressure behind him and got sacked and fumbled. The other, he threw a pick, but that's somewhat to be expected. But there were positive signs as far as his arm strength and things of that nature that we'd be looking forward to seeing in the next couple years. So it to me, it wouldn't even be a topic for us today unless, except for the fact that Stryker stayed in at wide receiver, it was more of a swap than it was like, pulling the starters because we're down 35-7 type thing. And then one more thing I didn't – this is kind of my fault. I prepare talking points for us. And one thing I did not put on there, you mentioned Landon Poole, which made me think of it, is Miguel Salto out with injury. He left the Lumpkin game with injury, did not play at all last week. So that's certainly something to monitor going forward, as he is a large part of our offense and our rushing attack.
I always like when we're on the same page, and I was sitting here thinking of sharing the exact same stat when it came back to me. I just thought we needed to share that with the fans, that maybe some of them didn't notice that Miguel Salto did not play in the Dawson game last Friday night, didn't see the field at all. We don't have any update on his injury status, which, that would be personal anyway. We don't have any insight as far as that goes, but it's certainly something to watch. He's a big factor on the offensive side of the ball for the Dragons, and I know definitely if they can, somebody they would want to get back. Hopefully we'll watch and see if he's able to take the field Friday night against Gilmer or not, but glad you remember to bring that up. We'll have to watch for that going forward. We're going to check in real quickly with our sponsors. Again, of course, this coverage of Pickens football would not be possible without them. So I want to take just a moment to check in with that, this commercial break. On the other side, we're going to dive into the preview of Gilmer and this long rivalry between the two programs. Stay with us. You don't want to miss it.
With Northside Hospital, you can look forward to new beginnings, look ahead to comeback seasons, and look up for hope and strength. Northside welcomes you into our community of care, guided by one clear direction, a mission to heal. Led by our expertise in maternity, heart, cancer, orthopedics, and more, you can move into tomorrow with confidence. For a healthier future together, look to Northside Hospital.
Feed all the hungry people in your family at Culver's of Jasper. Their signature butter burgers are fresh, never frozen, and the frozen custard is the perfect treat. Culver's of Jasper is locally owned and operated by local people who care about our community. Their passion for fresh food is as strong as their love for the community. They're proud of where they're located and how their local roots have made them who they are. Get fresh food now at Culver's of Jasper, just in front of Walmart.
Finding the right home for your family is important. The journey can be time-consuming and difficult. You want the right size, the perfect location, and great internet. ETC makes it easy to see what internet services you can get for your future or current home. Visit etcfiber.com, enter your address, and get an overview of all available services with pricing. No more internet surprises. Check before you buy. Make sure your home is right for you with ETC Ignite Internet, offering speeds up to 2.5 gigs. Call 844-708-5288 or visit etcfiber.com.
Back now on Dragon Football Weekly, as we prepare for the rivalry and region matchup against Gilmer, good time to look around the region, see where things stand as we progress throughout this portion of the season. Currently standing at the top of the region standings is Lumpkin, undefeated, 3-0 in the region. Dawson, who we lost to last Friday night, is 2-1 and has a tie for second place with Wesleyan, also at 2-1. White County would be in the fourth position behind Wesleyan and Dawson, 1-1 on the region so far. Gilmer would be behind them at 1-2, and tied for last place in the region would be West Hall and Pickens. Both are 0-2 in region play. Still early, lots to be played, and one thing I will point out for fans that pay attention, realize, noteworthy probably, that Pickens is 0-2 in region play, and both region losses have been to the one seed and tied second seed in the region, both Lumpkin and Dawson. Probably a little noteworthy too, to kind of give a little context. Jess, what are your thoughts on the region, where things stand going into this week? And I know that we have a couple score updates for a couple of big contests that happened last week, and some foresight into the games coming up this Friday.
So even before we get there, I'll give a little bit of more context. This was our record in region play in 2022 last season, and these were the only two losses we picked up on the region. So something to keep in mind if you are a fan that is on the downside of things, and that's, you know, things quickly turned around last year at this point in the season. I know strength of teams is a little bit different, and maybe what we have on remaining on our schedule is going to be a little bit tougher than it was last year. But before we jump all into that, we'll talk about the other two matchups that took place in week three. We already talked about Dawson's win over Pickens. Lumpkin, they rolled over Gilmer 56-3. It's clear that Lumpkin is going to be a force. They have already taken down Pickens, Gilmer, and Wesleyan. I would say their only opportunity for a loss, in my opinion, remains with White County, and even I think that's a small opportunity. I know Dawson's sitting at 2-1, but conversely, like you talked about, Pickens two losses are two teams at the top of the standings. Dawson's two wins are against two teams at the bottom of the standings in West Hall and Pickens. So I fully expect after the win over Wesleyan 2 weeks ago that Lumpkin will hold on to that one spot through the end of the season. The other matchup was our big matchup of the week to keep an eye on, Wesleyan and White. It went back and forth. We did our best to have updates for you throughout the game. Wesleyan ends up taking the lead late for a 27-24 victory. Very clear those teams are very even match. I like them to finish up in the 2 and 3 seed. I think that Wesleyan will, that was a huge win for them as far as that 2 seed and securing that home playoff game. Coming into this week, we know we've obviously got Gilmer and Pickens, which is going to be a big game as far as playoff possibilities, in my opinion. We'll talk about that at the end of the show when we break down that game. Lumpkin is on bye, so they will get a well-deserved break after their undefeated season so far. We've got West Hall at White County. As you know, West Hall has struggled throughout the beginning of this year and had a rough go of it last year as well. Expect to see White control that matchup. Wesleyan at Dawson. I think Wesleyan's definitely the favorite here. We talked about Dawson not what they were last year, but I wouldn't completely rule out an upset there with it being at Dawson. We mentioned there were a lot of changes in Dawson's starting lineup, we believed, based on some of the stats versus who was in the starting lineup last Friday night. So maybe some of those changes will bode well for them, and perhaps they can pick up what I would consider to be an upset win. But that's 2-1 teams now, so that's going to be kind of a tipping point as well going into this Friday.
Still for the Dragons, you know, at least 4 region contests left to be played, including this Friday.
A lot of football to a degree left to be played, and you make a great point. For those that are concerned about the Dragons, where they're at, where they're at position-wise compared to this point in time last year, not that different. They did have one more win under their belt, but it was non-region. They were 0-2 to start out region play, and things not looking the best. They did run the table, won their final 4 games in a row, and secured a playoff spot, certainly is possible this year. However, we do know that some of these teams we have to left to play, Wesleyan and White, I would say in particular, probably in a lot stronger position than we were last year. And I think we're going to have a very competitive matchup this Friday that, like I said, we'll unpack a little later. But my question kind of to close out around the region for you, with the current region standings where they are, do you see much movement in the next 4 weeks of anywhere in the rankings?
So I think Dawson is the one that I will think will trickle down. Haven't played Lumpkin, haven't played Wesleyan, haven't played White. So in my opinion, those are 3 losses on their schedule. They obviously wouldn't like to hear me say that. That's just my opinion, and I have certainly been wrong before. I do think that they could wind up winning one of those games, which would really throw a wrinkle in what I see in my crystal ball for the future of the region. in my mind, I think that Lumpkin, Wesleyan, and White are going to get the three top spots, and then remains to be seen who grabs that fourth. Dawson obviously already has a leg up on that fourth spot with a win over Pickens. Whoever wins this Pickens-Gilmer game will also make things interesting. I will say if Pickens does not win this week, be very, very difficult. They'll need some things. They'll need some help from other teams, and they will probably also have to come up with an upset somewhere later. Now, if we were to beat Gilmer this week, what you're going to want as a Pickens fan is for Gilmer to then beat Dawson. So for once, you'll be rooting for Gilmer to take them down, because Dawson's going to hold that tiebreaker over us in the head-to-head with a win last week. So you will want Gilmer to pick up a win against Dawson when they face off. You'll want to take care of business against all. Maybe, you know, we make an upset happen against White or Wesleyan. I know, so many comments have been made to me about postseason, and I just kind of look at the people and say, you know, this is right where they were last year, and I kind of get, you know, I kind of get scoffed at, and I'm like, you know, that's the same reaction we got last year, when postseason was brought up at this point. You know, there's just kind of like that, get real type thing. And, you know, all I have to say is, you know, that's the same thing that people said to us then. And it certainly ended up happening. It didn't just end up happening. I know it was still a road game, but they got the three seed as well. It's not like they snuck in as a four. They were able to secure the three seed. I know 3 and 4 both road playoff games, but it does make it at least a little bit easier against the two. So you don't know what could happen. I do think that if we don't win this week, the writing is a little more clear on the wall. But I think with a win this week, it's certainly still a possibility to secure a postseason position.
We'll dive into that and a little more about how important this game is Friday night for this season, for the region implications, for postseason implications, and what to expect. But we'll also talk a little more about just why this game's important between the people that wear green and the people that wear purple, and a deep, deep rivalry between the two. On the other side of this break, don't go anywhere.
Piedmont Mountainside Hospital has been a leader of quality medical care in Georgia, with 16 consecutive A hospital safety grades leapfrog group, and consistently ranking in the top 5 Atlanta hospitals in patient excellence. Piedmont offers a wide range of services and specialties, including imaging, cardiac rehabilitation, and general surgery, to meet the acute and long-term needs of the community. In addition, Piedmont Mountainside offers 24-hour emergency and intensive care in Jasper and in LJ. Choose Piedmont Mountainside. Real change lives here.
The word community means everything to the people of Community Bank of Pickens County. Community is much more than a name to the owners and staff. They're proud to be the area's only locally owned and operated bank, and have a staff that lives in our area. They've continued to offer in-person service at both of their full-service locations, while also offering you the latest online banking technology. Community Bank of Pickens County, saying go Dragons during this football season. Member FDIC.
My dad has always told me, if you want something done right, sometimes that means you just have to do it yourself.
That's right. Dan Jape here with my son, Daniel, excited to share that we're doing it right again.
Introducing Jape Services.
We're the same family that has served Atlanta with reliable heating, cooling, and plumbing services for over 5 decades.
Our professionals at Jape Services are licensed, insured, and ready to assist.
And we're doing it right.
Visit japeservices.com.
From our family
to yours,
japeservices.com.
The Pickens County Recycling Centers are open to serve all residents of Pickens County. They offer free paper shredding and free collections of typical recyclable items such as glass, cardboard, and newspaper. You can also recycle large items such as appliances and mattresses for a small fee. The main recycling center is located at 390 Appalachian Court off the 515, or visit the east side location on Cove Road in Marble Hill. The goal of the Pickens County Recycling Center is to reduce waste to our landfills.
Welcome back to Dragon Football Weekly. Tucker Green alongside Jess Walker still as we begin to unpack this rivalry region matchup in LJ Friday night when the Dragons take on the Gilmer Bobcats. And there's a lot of history between those two teams. Most people who went to Pickens, grew up in Pickens, or vice versa, grew up in LJ, went to Gilmer High School, knows the history of the deep rivalry between these two schools. For those maybe a little newer to the area or possibly didn't attend one of the high schools, it may not be as relevant to you, but the two teams have a tremendous amount of history, and it dates back all the way to 1957. The two teams have played every year with the exception of 2 years in those past 60-plus years since 1957, as we said. The matchup, football-wise, has been pretty close, almost 500 with an edge to Pickens. The Dragons hold the edge. They've won 35 times. Gilmer has won 28 times. So they have the edge. It was almost perfectly 500 until Pickens started on a win streak 8 years ago. Back in 2013, Pickens won the matchup for the first time in several years. It was at home. Halloween night, 2013, Chris Parker's second year as head coach in Jasper, and they began to start their own streak, like I said, of what will become 8 wins in a row against the neighbors to the north. And don't think for a second that Gilmer does not know that statistic. They want to be the team that breaks that streak and possibly starts one of their own. They believe that can happen Friday night in LJ. These two teams, like I said, have kind of gone in waves, almost even keel until the last 8 years in which Dragons have dominated. We've seen a lot of change in both programs over the last few years. Coaching changes, particularly in Gilmer, has had a lot of different coaching changes. They feel like they have their man in Paul Standard and they're on the rise. We're going to let Jess talk a little about the state of the two programs here in just a moment. But again, speaking to the rivalry, a lot of history here, especially in these two communities. You have to imagine going back to 57, obviously you have grandparents, you have parents, now most likely students could be in fourth generations, but generational rivalry between these two schools. And it goes beyond football. It goes across multiple sports, multiple competitions, different type things. I think in the old days, you know, I've heard stories of all kinds of mischievous type rivalry behavior of painting the fields purple or green at the rival school, or chaining up goats and to goalpost in the end zone to tear up people's fields, and all kinds of crazy stories between these two schools. We know there's been fights that have broken out, benches cleared, sidelines cleared, all kinds of crazy things happen between these two programs. You never really know exactly what to expect. I can think of a couple of basketball games during my time that were extremely competitive between the two programs, where people would storm the court. There was a game one time when the Gilmer student section was being so mischievous, causing problems. They had an air horn. They wouldn't quit blowing it. Officials had stopped the game. Nobody would fess up. Ended up kicking out, ejecting the entire Gilmer student section from the basketball game one year. I remember just all kinds of back and forth between these two schools. And as I said, across many sports, and there's a lot on the line Friday night. We'll talk about that a little later, but I don't think you can underestimate or understate how important this game is to these two programs, I think, Jess.
Yeah, definitely still is a big one. You talk about the importance. You know, I haven't necessarily heard somebody say that this year or since we have been covering, but I know you would hear things like, you know, as long as we beat Gilmer, I don't care. You know, I don't care about the other results. I think that's kind of loser talk. I definitely don't think our coaching staff would stand behind that now. But that kind of shows you opinions of some of the fan base and how they might feel, or at least, you know, I used to hear things like that. And even you look at higher levels, you know, before the University of Georgia was as successful as it was, you know, some people may feel that way just about the Florida game. You know, as long as they pick up the win against Florida, you know, they can be content. That sort of thing. I think that there has been enough success around here that is kind of out the window now. But it does kind of just tell the story of the way some people feel about the game. You know, it is for a long time it was their Super Bowl, if you will. That was all that mattered. One thing you talked about, all the mischievousness and things like that. I do think that things have got a little bit softer. I think the internet is partially to blame for some of that. There is a lot more camaraderie between the two schools, as far as, you know, you might have a friendship group from, you know, they might be friends with one another. You really know the guys a little bit better personally than maybe you did in 1990s, because, like I said, internet, social media, that sort of thing. But I think that in a way that takes the competitive nature up a notch, maybe not the uglier side of it. But, you know, even when you compete with friends, in a way you almost want to win more. There's a different attitude behind it. It's not like you want to win out of hate or anything like that, but you want to be the best. And so I do think that it is a different type of rivalry, but not, you know, nothing lost in that, maybe even strengthened in that a little bit, just in the fact that you do have a closer relationship most of the time with who you're playing and things of that nature.
Tell us a little about where the state of these two programs are coming into this year.
So we're not quite 10 years ago yet. We're coming up on 10 years ago. Gilmer went through a very tough period with their program. Coaches came and gone. I know they had one coach that I may be wrong on this. It may have been two or three games, but I want to say he coached one game and he was out in 2000. I think that would have been the first of these three straight winless seasons in 2016. They proceeded to go 0-10 in 16, 17, and 18. Just not a good period for their program. You know, kids didn't want to play. Community was upset about it. And it was just ugly. It wasn't even as a rival anything you want to see. It certainly takes the competitive nature way down in the rivalry. A lot of people give Paul Standard credit for getting this back up, and he certainly has. It did take a little tick up before him, though. They had Kevin Saunders in 2019 and 2020, who was able to put together a 3-4 win season. So he kind of at least got it out of the zero win era, if you will. And then Standard has taken it up a little bit more beyond that. You've definitely started to see stronger non-region play under his tenure. Just haven't quite been able to put it together in region play yet, but they're certainly working their way up. Pickens, definitely not the same story. I don't want to say that we're in decline. The way I have it on my notes here is more like a flat line. There was certainly a spike, and I guess we are technically down from that spike, no doubt about it, that there were a few very strong years in a region championship, a playoff win, a home playoff game. But it's not like a steep dive. It was more like a regression to the mean. I do feel like we're still up a little bit from maybe, you know, where the program once was. I talked about people, you know, being excited once. Just, you know, if we can just beat Gilmer, we're happy. And it's a good thing that those days are gone. That's no longer the bar. The bar is not just to beat Gilmer. The bar is to make the playoffs, maybe even host a playoff game, that sort of thing, maybe even win a playoff game. So Pickens is definitely, I wouldn't say they're opposite direction of what Gilmer's doing, but they have kind of come back down to earth a little bit since that same era where Gilmer was in so much trouble is kind of where we were doing well. And then two, you know, Gilmer, that right before that winless streak they had and where they couldn't find a coach that fit this and that, you know, they had a very strong era as well in the early 2010s under Wesley Tankersley, who's now at Stevens County and having a lot of success over there. So both teams have been through their ups and downs. Our guest last week, Greg Norton, talked about how schools at the mountain level, I believe another guest, Tim Tao, has talked about that as well. You know, these mountain schools, the talent comes and goes. You can have good coaches. You can have, you know, players that are playing at the next level here and there, but that is not something that we have every day. On season in and out, there are not, you know, a full cast of guys that are going to go play at the college level at any of these schools. Pickens, Gilmer, and Fannin, you know, you're lucky to have a couple of them here and there. And so it comes and goes in waves. It is better, I think, to have these programs at least where they're not, you know, completely down in the dumps like Gilmer was there for a couple of years. It's good to have them on what I would consider pretty even playing levels at this very moment. I think that's shown with their season results the last couple of years.
No doubt about that, and I think despite where if teams are on the rise, flatline, whatever it may be, you'll find the teams are somewhat comparable. I think we'll have a pretty competitive matchup. That's what things appear to be indicating. We'll dive into that. On the other side of this quick break, we're going to take one more check-in with our sponsors. And on the other side, we'll break down this matchup Friday night, what the implications are, and what you can expect from these two teams. Stay with us.
Pueblo Cantina is Jasper's best Mexican restaurant. Local folks know they use only fresh ingredients and serve a wide variety of freshly made dishes. Restaurants come and go, but Pueblo Cantina has been open since 1997. Lunch or dinner, 7 days a week. Come to Jasper's best Mexican restaurant, Pueblo Cantina, 25 Luke Carver Drive at 53 and 515 Jasper. Go Dragons!
In sports, every point counts, and at Alpha Insurance, they know when it comes to your budget, every dollar counts. That's why they work hard to get you the lowest rates and best discounts available. Plus, every Alpha policy comes with personal service from their hometown team. Call Alpha to start saving today. In Jasper, call Alpha agent Bill Lawrence at 706-692-2436 or stop by their office at 744 Noah Drive. Score savings with Alpha Insurance.
J.L. Weaver Law Firm of Jasper is proud to be part of the Pickens County community. They're behind the Dragons all the way and want to congratulate all the players, cheerleaders, and band members who've put in countless hours of work for this season. The J.L. Weaver Law Firm specializes in criminal defense, DUI, personal injury, and family law. 57 Southeast Street, Jasper. Call 706-253-1001. J.L. Weaver Law Firm.
You're listening to Dragon Football Weekly as we again prepare for this regional rivalry between Gilmer and Pickens Friday night. That game will be in LJ. If you can't make the road trip, be sure to tune in. We'll have coverage starting at 7 p.m. with the Northside pregame show, kickoff at 7:30. We're expecting a lot of traffic on the way up there. It is Apple Festival weekend, and as some call it, leaf looker season in the North Georgia mountains, so expect a lot of traffic. So probably would be a good time for you to tune in to catch that game on our air, 93.7, 98.1 FM, and streaming online. Going into the game Friday night, Gilmer sits at 4-3 overall. Pickens sits at 1-5 on the season. And for some context, last year, Pickens did beat Gilmer for their eighth year in a row at home. At that point, coming into the game, Gilmer had an even better record. They were sitting at 5-2 on the season last year. They ended up slipping through the remainder of region play to not finish out as strong. Pickens had the reverse. They started what would be a 4-win streak for them to end their season and secure that 3-seed playoff spot. We'll see what happens this season. No doubt it will be a competitive matchup. We've kind of alluded to it earlier in the show, but we believe there's a lot of implications in this game Friday night for not just the rivalry, but for the actual season, for where things will go from here. In my view, and I think Jess would agree, really for Pickens to have a shot at that fourth seed, to make the playoffs and get some things going here in the latter part of the season, they really need to start Friday night in LJ. It's a pretty competitive matchup. It's a crucial region game. I think they need to win. And I'll let Jess kind of dive into that a little more and give us your thoughts and what the implications might be and what Massey's saying about this game.
Yeah, barring something unforeseen, I think that it's absolutely necessary. I think it's a must. I think if you lose that, that you would need a whole lot of dominoes to fall that aren't likely to fall in order to make the playoffs. So I think it is a must. Talked about Gilmer's 4-3 on the year. Glad you included the 5-2 last year, because I think going into this game last year that a lot of people didn't think we were going to win. And they won pretty handily. 27-10, I believe, was the final score. And, you know, Gilmer had a lot of buzz around them coming into this game last year, a lot of momentum, mainly due to the difference. That's one game difference, if you notice, between last year and this year, 4-3 this year, 5-2 last year. The difference was they picked up the home region opener against Wesleyan, which was kind of blew some people's minds, because Wesleyan was expected, you know, they were kind of the outlier private school, classified up thanks to the reclassification, and people kind of expected them to come in this region and dominate, and they barely squeaked into the playoffs as a 4 seed. Now, I do think they're a little bit better this year, but you know, that was a huge win for Gilmer last year, and a lot of people really had high hopes for Gilmer. Or I guess you wouldn't phrase it that way, I guess, if you're a Pickens fan. But a lot of people thought really highly of Gilmer coming into this game last year, and that's kind of where their season began to tail off. They are favored by 3 using Massey. We've talked about Massey all year long. At this point, if you're a frequent listener, you know it is just mathematics. It is an algorithm. It has no bearing really on how the teams have played this current season. It's more to do with last year, the year before that, that sort of thing. It doesn't take home field advantage in, which Gilmer will have this Friday, that sort of thing. They are favored by 3, so it is a tighter matchup than some of the others. I definitely think that Pickens has the upper hand going into this one. It may be a slight upper hand, but I do feel like they have the upper hand going into Friday night, and they have to find a way to win. It may not be very tough to find a way to win. They may cruise like they did last year, but they have to find a way to win. And I believe there are definitely – Gilmer plays such a unique style. I'll kind of let you introduce that I think there's definitely a path to victory just solely based on their style of play.
Yeah, I think that – first of all, fans will be encouraged that you feel Pickens has the upper hand. I agree with you completely. Looking back last year, I think we both, maybe not you. I'll admit I was.
No, I didn't.
Concerned. I think with the slow start for Pickens, Gilmer, it looked like it had a strong start, and I thought that's going to be the year they break the streak. This is going to be an ugly loss at home. And it wasn't. We won pretty handily, and again, we soared through the rest of the season for the most part, and they began to have a decline at the end of region play. Certainly could happen this season. I do, as we've talked about, now that we know this was, again, for context, last year was year one in this new region alignment. There was kind of a lot of filling out and figuring out what teams and programs looked like for us. I feel like we have a better grasp and understanding where teams are this season compared to last year. And we somewhat, based on results this year, have been able to see, I think, some improvements for some teams over last year and some decline. We've talked about that on the program, you know, every week. And for the most part, I think the results have supported that. But I do think it's encouraging that you feel Pickens still has an upper hand and that can win this game. It's a very winnable game for them Friday, especially at being on the road. And I'd like to get your kind of thoughts on where you're coming to from that, maybe to give a little insight here in a moment. But yes, you wanted to talk about Gilmer, what kind of team they are. They're a triple option, run-heavy team, old school. Paul Standard's been doing it a long time. And that's the kind of type of team you see. They don't do anything real flashy. They like to ground and pound. They like to run the clock out, kind of be slow. I think the key to beating a team like that is you got to get out early. And if you can get out early on them, it's very difficult, their style of play, to play catch up. So if you can ever get them down by, let's say, 2 scores, they're going to be – really in a tough spot, whereas some teams it may not impact them. Even the Dragons, I feel like, to a degree, good comparison would be like North Murray. When Pickens plays North Murray,
they're high offensive teams. They move the ball around. They do a lot of things. A lot of big swings in those games. It would be nothing in that matchup for fans that have kept up with Pickens North Murray. It would be nothing for them to score, you know, 14 points pretty easily. Not going to be the case with a Gilmer team. That's just not their style. And so I think that is the key Friday night is Pickens has got to start out strong early. They need to go up on Gilmer. If they can do that, I think they can win this game.
Yeah, and we often allude as to who wins the toss and what they elect to do. I would be very surprised if Pickens wins the toss if they do not elect to receive. Because of what you just said, even a touchdown lead for a team like Gilmer, their quarterback, Isaac Rellinger, he has 30 pass attempts on the season. They played seven games. That's an average of 4.5 a game. So they are rarely throwing the ball. They're rarely speeding things up. And that old school style of play, you know, it can go a couple ways. It's old school for a reason. A lot of people have went away from it. Now, it can also trick you up because you see it so rarely that if a coach is not prepared for it, you know, it can throw a loop. For people sometimes. It's kind of like you're either going to have their number, you're going to be stopping it all night, or you're going to be confused as to what's going on all night. And if things go their way early, like if they can get an early lead, then they control that clock and make it hard on you to come back if they can control the time of possession. But if they fall down, I mean, you mentioned two scores, even one score ball games like in the second half kind of put a little bit of pressure on them to do things quicker than they normally would and that sort of thing. And so an early lead is going to be big. Force them out of their game. Force them, you know, to try to maybe, you know, I think our goal would be to have them throw the ball more than their average of 4.5 times. You know, that would be a good sign for us. That means we're ahead. That means they're playing catch up. Isaac Rellinger mentioned him. He is more of a runner than he is a passer just by nature of the offense. He's joined in the backfield by two underclassmen, Wyatt Stokes and Hunter Britton. They'll have multiple guys carrying the ball. Those are just their biggest three. The triple option offense, if you're familiar with it at all, you know, at all times there are like two wing backs and a traditional fullback behind the quarterback. So there's like four guys on the field at all times who might be carrying the ball. It's different, it's slow, and it in my opinion, like I stated at the beginning, it can go one of two ways. Either your opponent is not ready for it and you kind of have the element of being so far removed from what they're used to, or it goes their way, they are prepared for it, and if they can put their foot on the gas early, it really puts you in a tough spot running that offense.
Those three players you named are really the workhorses for the Bobcats. They'll be the teams to watch. And I think if the Dragon defense can slow those guys down, like you said, stall out drives, force them to maybe have to throw the ball some, that's going to be the start of a good night for the Dragons. And then I think they're going to have some good drives offensively, utilizing their offensive weapons. I think Miguel Salto, if he can be back, that could be a big factor for the Dragon offense. They're going to want to be firing on all cylinders, like we said, and hope to score and go up early by one or two, and I think they'll be in good shape for the remainder of the game. Want to get your final thought. I know you already kind of tipped your hat that you feel this is a game the Dragons can win and need to win. I don't think Grant Myers is naive to that fact. I think him and his coaching staff will understand the importance of this game Friday night, and they'll prepare for it. Probably likewise, Paul Standard, same way. I think he'll probably view this as he needs to win Friday night as well. I think there's a lot of implications for both teams, really, and I think they'll both be preparing all week with that in mind. But I'll let you give your final thought on why you think Dragons can have the edge and what you're going to be looking for as we make the trip up to LJ Friday night.
I think we have a more talented team. I think our style of play, if we can put points on the board early, will be tough for them to catch up. Two factors I think will go in Gilmer's favor is one, home field, and two, the weather. Potential nasty weather, which obviously appeals to them a little bit more than us, makes it harder to throw the ball, that sort of thing. But I think we've got another opportunity to cruise on Friday night, just like we did last season. Gilmer doesn't quite have the hype, and I hope that doesn't cause us to get our guard down, because I do think they were very, very pumped up for the game last year because of all that kind of steam that Gilmer had coming in. I don't have that this year. I hope it doesn't cause them to kind of be a little more lax. Certainly, there is no reason at this point in the season to be coming into any game lax. So they should know the magnitude of the matchup, what it means for the rest of the season, and go out and get the job done on Friday.
Absolutely. We'll have coverage of it for you all night long, and I know we're both excited to see what the matchup looks like, and hopefully we'll have a big region victory for the Dragons. Coverage for that, again, will start with a 7 p.m. Northside pregame show. You're not going to miss that. We'll have the latest updates and insights going into the matchup. And then, of course, kickoff at 7:30. We'll have coverage on 93.7 and 98.1 FM and streaming online. Expect a heavy traffic weekend up across the North Georgia mountains. If you can't make it to the game, be sure to tune in with us. And even if you are, you can put in us through your phone, streaming online, and listen to us and our insights and viewpoints of the game. Again, big rivalry matchup. The Gilmer Bobcats, Pickens Dragons, and what should be another exciting matchup between these two football programs on Friday night. You don't want to miss it. We look forward to being with you on Friday night. Take care.